Hello everyone and welcome to the Hunter Association, your source for all things Hunter Hunter. My name is Cage.
And my name is Dylan.
And in this week's episode, we will be talking about the Hisoka one-shot by Sui Ishida, the author of Tokyo Ghoul.
It's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing here. We'll talk about it in a second. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, after that, we will be going through our community comments. If you would like to join in on the community and have your comment read, be sure to comment on the YouTube version, either on the video or on the community post. Also, make sure to like and subscribe to help grow our community of Hunter Hunter fans. Additionally, if you'd like to know when new episodes are live, click the bell to enable notifications. And if you're an audio listener, make sure to rate and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at TXHXAPod, as well as Blue Sky at just THAPod. For podcast-related updates and to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. If you'd like, you can also still email us at hunterassociationpod@gmail.com. As always, we have provided timestamps in the description if you'd like to skip ahead to any of the aforementioned segments.
Hell yeah.
No news this week.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Tagashi's been radio silent since that, like, weird update in December. It's kind of eerie at this point.
Yeah, we've got nothing. It's a shame.
It's almost been a month now, actually. Like,
yeah, 8 days from now. Figured it was going on a month.
Yeah, about another week and it'll be a month. Wild.
Yeah, so we'll find out next week if we have gone a whole month without him.
yeah. So not really a lot of news to speak to then. I do want to give a quick update though. The giveaway, or the winner of the giveaway that we've been running, has been picked now. Shout outs to Lucifer1092, that is the winner of the giveaway. We announced it in the stream yesterday that we hosted, as of, you know, the day we're recording this. But if we announced the winner and did a whole bunch of stuff there in the live stream. If you want to go check out the VOD for that, if you weren't able to tune in while we were streaming, that's all on the YouTube channel if you would like to go check that out. And I encourage you to do so, because this episode might be on the shorter end of things today, all things considered. This is going to be not a whole lot to talk about today, I think, is kind of the sneak peek for today's episode. But if you want more content, go check out that YouTube stream. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, about 3.5 extra hours of us this week, if you want that.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you all that tuned in for it live. We were very happy with the turnout. That was a lot of fun. We would love to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe whenever Nen Impact releases, we can, you know, at least do another stream for that. But if, you know,
yeah,
some of those games I'm genuinely interested in revisiting to some degree with, like, a little bit more time, because there was some good stuff in there.
Yeah, for sure. That PS2 one especially stood out to us.
Yeah, absolutely. The Castlevania one too, but that's...
Yes, that was cool. Yeah, so this week, we're just talking about that Hisoka one-shot. And, you know, I guess we'll just kind of dive right into it. Are you ready to move into that, Dylan?
Yeah, I'm ready whenever.
All right, let's just head over there then.
Okay.
Alright, welcome to our coverage of the Hisoka one-shot by Sui Ishida, called Hisoka's Past.
Very simple, self-explanatory.
Yeah, pretty makes sense, I think. So, this was done by Sui Ishida, obviously the author of Tokyo Ghoul, back in 2016. And it is definitely lacking in the art department. This is very clearly unfinished.
It's very apparent from the get-go, I think. Like, the first couple pages, even. It's, it looks a little scratchy, I guess is the best way I could put it.
Yeah.
A lot of the art. And that's something that becomes even more apparent the further you get into it, honestly. It's interesting, though. Like, you would think the author of Tokyo Ghoul, you'd be, like, a very, like, finished product. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Tokyo Ghoul, but I have seen, like, the art style of it and just various panels over the years, and it's fantastic stuff. Very, like, finished-looking product, you know, from what I've seen. This is kind of not that resemblant of such a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, so Ishida's art style is incredible, obviously. If you've read Tokyo Ghoul, you'd know that. This is just basically what this appears to be, is just like the storyboards. It's like, I don't think any editor really had any any foot in this at all or any hands in this. I don't think any assistants worked on this. I think it was just Ishida doing the storyboards, and that got published. So yeah, obviously when I first read this recently, I didn't know much about it going in, but afterwards it was very apparent that the art was unfinished. So I looked into the backstory of this a little bit, and I found out not much. There isn't a whole lot of information out there, but at the very least, this was originally an April Fool's joke in 2015, about a year before this actually came out. I guess from there is what got Ishida and Togashi talking, and kind of what got the ball rolling on making this happen. And that's, yeah, obviously, it, like a year later, it actually came out like this.
That's an interesting story. April Fool's prank turned into an actual non-canon publication.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, this was released on the Jump Plus app, by the way.
That makes sense.
Never got an official translation, but we found a translation, which was actually pretty good. I didn't really have any complaints with it.
Yeah, no, it, you know, didn't really scream like your typical scanlation for like modern series especially, so it was good. Yeah.
So yeah, but since we're already kind of dipping into just talking about the thing in general, let's briefly go over the plot of this thing. This will be a little less detailed than our normal plot summaries. I actually just took the summary from Hunterpedia because I don't know, it's the most thorough thing we got. I just, why not? Whatever. So in Glam Gasland, that's a tongue twister. known for its shows, a young Hisoka is found on the ground by Moritonio. Sorry, I kept reading it as Moritono that entire time. I just noticed the I there.
Really? Oh wow.
Yeah.
Thought that was just a slip up, but no. Oh, okay.
Ringmaster of the Moritonio group troop. Moritonio's stunts bewilder audiences, and now he has the opportunity to perform at the Bar Jack Princess Hotel. Moritonio, very, yeah, it's it's interesting. Moritonio asks Hisoka if he is able to perform any magic tricks. Hisoka shows Moritonio a card trick, astonishing him and noting that the boy had more talent than he. Moritonio encourages Hisoka to hone his talent. Moritonio's performer, Abaki, warns him that Hisoka could have an uncanny past, seeing how he was just found on the road. Abaki and Moritonio are walking in the marketplace where they see a picture of a serial killer who crushes his victims to death, provisionally called John Doe. While the manner of the killings is consistent, the one doing it seems to change, leading to his epithet, Hundred Face. John Doe loves attention, which is why he allows himself to be recorded by surveillance. When they return, they find that a juggler, has injured himself, rendering him incapable of performing. Hisoka volunteers to do the act for him, showcasing his extraordinary talent. Or dexterity, but also talent.
Same thing.
Yeah. A jealous co-performer, Yasuda, vows to get revenge on Hisoka. During the performance, Yasuda throws the batons in an odd manner in order to overwhelm him, but Hisoka successfully catches them. Yasuda leaves the circus, and the other performers begin rehearsing in secret to prevent Hisoka from learning their techniques. That was kind of a cool part. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, we can go a little bit more in-depth on some of the scenes after we're done with the synopsis, but that was one of the more favorite parts of this one-shot, for sure.
It stood out.
Yeah.
Hisoka notices a film around Moritonio, and Moritonio explains to him that it is aura. He begins teaching Hisoka the basics of Nen. Abaki reveals that she is the only one in the troupe that managed to learn Nen. She divulges Moritonio's past. He attempted to become a hunter, but failed the difficult hunter exam, which was passed by only one person. I wonder who that was.
Yeah, I wonder. they tried to make it as obvious as possible without directly naming him.
After that, he was discouraged from taking the exam again. But she believes that he teaches Nen in order to have a pupil to be able to pass the exam he couldn't. Abaki declares that she will become a hunter. Hisoka displays his unbelievably quick learning of the Nen principles, something that would typically take a year. Sounding like Serenage here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Moritonio then has Hisoka determine his Nen type, which turns out to be transmutation, just like Moritonio.
Very nice. So, sometime later, Abaki gets lost while on a shopping trip. And she then gets accosted by a man who she believes to be John Doe, has like the leather face mask and all, like kind of spooky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She attempts to overpower him with Nen, which is really cool, by the way. I just want to call out this specifically because it's like a Nen like jump rope almost, or like a confused jump rope.
That's kind of cool.
But he is capable of using Nen too. He nearly kills Abaki, but Hisoka saves her by slicing his eye and manages to drive him off. Hisoka notes that he feels that like he didn't truly hurt John Doe. Hisoka takes a shower where he begins to develop a Nen ability.
Yeah, it's a cool depiction of it too, because he's like kind of like turning the water gummy. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not even like a shower. He's like in like the
He's in a bath. He's in like actually. A tub.
Yeah, yeah. Hunterpedia, what are you doing?
Yeah,
yeah, he's in like a bathtub and he's like turning the water into this like rubbery gum like substance. I wonder what that entails. But a few days later, Hisoka performs at the Royal Glam Hotel, attended by the head of the Glam Clan, the authority of Glam Gasland. He loves using the word glam.
He does.
The head applauds the act, giving the troupe worldwide eminence. Outside of the hotel, Hisoka confronts Moritonio alone, where he accuses Moritonio of being John Doe. Who saw that coming?
Wow.
he points out Moritonio's fake skin. Moritonio claims that he enjoys surprising people to the point that he killed his younger sister to see the expression on her face. He created a circus to have his enjoyment in a humane way, but still couldn't resist the urge to hurt others. He confesses to being John Doe, but Hisoka merely wants to fight him. They get into a duel, with Moritonio revealing how he swapped faces using his Scarf Ace ability. What a name.
Yeah.
Hisoka feels as though he is being crushed, but uses Gyo, something Moritonio hadn't taught him, to find that two magnetic bars were crushing him, and escapes. Hisoka explains how he observed that audience members... Things began floating whenever Moritonio performed his airwalk, and by things he means like jewelry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Moritonio goes all out with his blood magnet. I can't speak. Nen ability by using magnetic bars, which essentially means that he like turns his aura into magnetic bars, which is very weird. I want to point out
it was super weird. Yeah, I've never seen anything like this.
Most literal like ability possible of like turning Nen into something.
Yeah.
He reveals that Hisoka manages to use his Nen ability to deflect the bars and crush Moritonio. He reveals that he developed a transmutation ability that takes on the properties of rubber and gum, bungee gum.
Wow.
And he used that Nen ability to have the bars go right back to Moritonio, killing him. Before he leaves, Hisoka changes Moritonio's face to the one which he had the night on which he attacked Abaki, the one of John Doe. Elsewhere, Abaki wonders where Moritonio and Hisoka have gone as she calls for them and complains that the food will soon run out. And that marks the end of the one shot in terms of the plot synopsis.
Yeah. So, kind of a story about nothing, truly. That was the feeling I got immediately after finishing it.
We could talk about some of the scenes and what we like, what we dislike a little bit more in depth, I suppose. But yeah, coming out of it, I guess like the initial thought I had was like almost kind of like a that's it kind of thing. Yeah. Like I don't know what I was expecting necessarily, but I feel like everything that this one shot told, like I obviously this is non-canon, so it doesn't even really matter. But like I don't know. Like everything that was told about Hisoka, it's like okay, like I feel like this is just like you would think from a Hisoka backstory one shot that you would like learn something like surprising or neat about his upbringing or whatever led him to where he is now, right? But it's all just kind of like yeah, he's still Hisoka, and like that's like the entire one shot. it didn't teach me anything new about this guy, I feel like.
Yeah, and that you hit the nail on the head right there, because that's exactly what I kind of don't like about this, is that Hisoka is Hisoka from the beginning. Like, there's no journey. There's no, like, oh, this was a normal kid at first, and then you got all fucked up. No, he's just Hisoka from, like, the age of five. It's so weird. What happened?
He's just 10-year-old Hisoka, or however old he is right
now. Yeah. Whenever I heard Hisoka's past, I thought we'd see, like, why he became the way he is. But instead, we just kind of saw a story about Hisoka being Hisoka, and that's kind of it. We saw him develop as Nen. I guess that's cool. I wouldn't mind this being canon, really. I mean, like, it's harmless.
It's harmless. But, like, it doesn't bring anything new to the table. That's kind of, like, my main gripe with it. Like,
not at all.
It's like a junk food read, almost. Which especially is fine.
Especially with, like, Abaki. Like, what was that? Abaki as a character in this is so weird to me. She just kind of is there, and then she's at the end. She's still alive. Just, like, what happens? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
If she was there purely as, like, somebody to bond with Hisoka, it really did not shine, because was barely highlighted.
And then he just leaves her anyways.
Yeah, so, I don't know. The stakes, I guess the stakes in general for this story was very, very low, all things considered. Like, I don't know. It felt like it wasn't, like, pushing the bar for, like, what you could do with a one-shot of Hunter x Hunter, given free reign, knowing that it's non-canon at that.
Like, yeah.
It's interesting.
Better than the movies, but...
Yes, I had to say that, yeah.
And this isn't really bad, either. It's really just, like... This is, like, the most solid, like, 5 out of 10 ever. It's just, like, it's whatever. Like, this exists. I can appreciate aspects of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of just whatever. I'd even say, like, 6 out of 10. I don't know. A little lighter on it.
It's a little weird to write for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I do really like Moritonio and the John Doe thing. Like, in the most basic possible way, like, I think it's a fun idea, and I like his motive, just being, like, he likes to see people suffer. Like, he enjoys seeing the face. I think that's, like, a unique motivation for a villain.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting. For a one-shot villain, I think. It's nothing, like, too, like, crazy in depth, obviously. No, but, like, no. You know. It's pretty good for just, like, an 80-page one-shot or however long it was.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Hisoka interactions with him in particular in general. Again, it's kind of just Hisoka being Hisoka. I kind of alluded already. It's kind of a gripe I have with the story in general. You know, it doesn't really kind of push the bar with that character very much. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know. It's fun at the very least, and you know, I'd rather have something that's fun and like somewhat entertaining over some of this very boring, you know. So
yeah,
that's good.
And it was entertaining. Like I wasn't bored reading this. Really, it was a good time. And a positive is I do think seeing, even though Hisoka is really just Hisoka, I do like seeing a pre-Nen version of him. Like it's cool to see him. See it and like get interested in it and want to learn it. I thought that was kind of cool. It's sort of, you know, like a Gon journey,
kind of, although it's like you kind of said earlier, it's kind of very similar to Serenich as well, where he's just
a prodigy. Yeah. So it's not exciting, I guess, to actually see him learn it, but I did like the moment of him first learning about it. And, like, trying, like, figuring out, like, okay, this Moritonio guy is capable of doing something that I cannot do.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the page where he's like, yeah, I can see, like, the little wispy stuff around you or whatever he said. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, he's just...
That's a cool moment. And I did like how Hisoka would, like, copy everybody else's acts and do them better. Like, that's a cool little gimmick.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for me, because on one hand, I think it kind of leans more into the whole, like, you know, Hisoka's just insane, and, like, doesn't show, like, the development of, like, him, like, having that prowess, which kind of stings for me a little,
right.
But at the same time, like, I don't know, Hisoka's just that guy at the same time, and just seeing him being able to mimic all these other people, like, what, these other performers are doing and things like that. Like, it's just a cool little character moment, and it just makes sense at the same time. It's this entire one shot, as I'm speaking about it and just kind of discussing it with you right now, it's like, if you really love Hisoka, it's like a spectrum. The more you love Hisoka just as a character and like what he kind of represents, I feel like the more you really resonate with the one shot, because this literally just is Hisoka for 80 pages. Whereas, like, I'm not, like, too... So, like, I love Hisoka, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I don't, like, resonate with the character, right? It's not something I, like, really... like, I don't know. I didn't get, like, excited about, like, reading Hisoka one-shot necessarily. Some people might burn me at the stake for that. But, maybe that's why a lot of this didn't, like, really land for me, because I want to see, like, more out of what the character could offer, you know, with Free Reign, rather than just it being Hisoka himself. And I hate that I'm harping on that point so much, but it really is the best way I can kind of convey my feelings about most of what's in the one shot.
No, yeah, I totally get that, because that's also, you know, I love Hisoka, but I also really wasn't too excited about the idea of a one shot about his past, simply because it's not from Togashi's pen, and if we do see it, I'd want to see it from him. But also, I guess once I actually got into it, like we already talked about plenty, I was just disappointed in what this was about. If we're seeing his past, I want to see why he is the way he is, but we're just kind of seeing nothing. And that's a shame. That's such a waste to me to even do this story at all, because we're really just... It's just an excuse for Ishida to draw Hisoka, I guess. Just younger.
Yeah. So something that makes it sting even more, though, is that, like, there was obviously, like, ideas at play of, like, actually, like, giving more information or making things more interesting. Some great dude, like, at the very beginning, it's like Togashi, like, world building going on about, like, the land they were, like, growing up in or whatever, right? Which was, you know, kind of, it wasn't the most, like, interesting thing in the world, I'd say, but, like, it's kind of interesting, you know, being pretty close to York New. And just kind of having, like, it's like gas deposit land turned into, like, an entertainment district almost. And, like, there's little subtle things that were, like, mentioned within the one shot as well. Hisoka brought up his mother at one point about how, like, I can't remember the exact, like, context, but, like, he brought her up saying, like, yeah, my mother was, like, something or another. And, like, I don't know, that something like that could have been interesting. Like, who are Hisoka's parents? How did he end up an orphan in general? How did he end up where he's even at? They never explained that. Mm-hmm. You know, little stuff like that could have really benefited the one shot, I think, in terms of, like, being bringing something new to the table. But he didn't go in that direction for whatever reason. Just kind of stuck to by the number stuff.
Yeah, and that's what's a shame, because Tokyo Ghoul and Ishida as an author in general is—he's a very he likes to push the bar, you know. He's always doing stuff that's really out there and wild for a manga to do. Like the ending of the original Tokyo Ghoul is very evident of that. Like, that is one of the most insane endings you could possibly do for a series, and it's just bold, you know. And that's what I wanted to see here. I wanted to see something bold and unique, but it's just by the books. Like, here's a story about a character from another manga. He didn't do anything to, you know, to show off his stuff.
Yeah. It's essentially, okay, here's Kid Hisoka. He's a prodigy. He's learning Nen passively through spectating, essentially, and just application on his own. And he, you know, he kills the guy that he learned from, and that's pretty much it. Like, goes off and does his own thing. We don't know what he's going to do next. That's something they never hinted at either. It's just like, yep, I'm done here. Bye. It's like, okay. He has bungee gum and now he's out. Like, I don't know. Something about that is very weird to me. It's again, don't get me wrong. It's fun to see that all be developed. And that whole entire thing in general is like, it's entertaining. There's not a lot of substance, though. There's not a lot to think about, which is why I feel like we're kind of reiterating a lot of these points that we've been talking about. Because there's just not much to talk about here. And that's kind of the problem I have.
Yeah, and that's why this is going to be a short episode. Because really, I just don't have much to say about this. And it's frustrating. I wish I had more to say. But I just don't. Pretty much everything I've said is all I have to say about it. I can't really think of a whole lot to say. Positives, yeah, Mori Tonio is kind of cool. It's nice to see more Hisoka. That's all I got. There's not a whole lot there for me personally.
I liked how I will say I really liked how like Hisoka learns like the sky stuff from Mori Tonio. Essentially, that's like his inspiration for like using the what was the name of that particular ability again? It's leaving me right now. What Hisoka uses to like disguise himself or like
oh my god.
No, is I was really relying on you, man.
It's just it was just in my head like right as you were saying it, but I wasn't sure if that's what you're talking about.
Oh my god,
what is it? Texture surprise.
Okay, you said it before I could find it on Google. Sorry guys. Yeah, I like that detail. But yeah, I can't really speak to anything else. I just can't. No. Abaki, you can't. I liked her Nen jump rope, I guess. Like that's as much as I could say about her.
Abaki is truly a nothing character. Like, wow. That's nothing is there.
Again, could have been something. Wasn't there. They could have. I don't know. I like the little segment of, like, you know, Mortonio wanting to become a hunter, and then he's like, they were looting the Jing, if it wasn't obvious, right?
Well, yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
Obviously. as the one person who passed the hunter exam. I like that little detail there, but they didn't really do anything with it. It just kind of said that in passing, almost. I don't know. There was potential here, but I don't think it landed necessarily for me. This is easily something that falls into the bucket of like I remember it right now as we're talking about it because I just recently read it. Give it another week or two though, I'm gonna probably forget this exists.
Gone. I will not retain much of this. I'll probably remember Mori Tonio at the very least, but maybe not. I don't even know. I can't even promise you that. Yeah, I'm barely remembering Omokage right now, so
yeah. And granted, a lot of that could be again this. Because it's non-canon, but
right,
just not a lot of substance, so not really a lot for me to think about, and that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, I maybe doing a whole episode about this was a mistake. I figure there would be more to talk about, but there really just isn't. But you know, it happens to fall on a week where we did a live stream also, so I guess that works out. So there is more for you guys out there if you want more of us this week.
Please go check that out if you're interested. Yeah, it was a blast, but. All that being said, this is still perfectly fine. It's just like a little small binge read if you're bored for like, you know, half an hour or so, you know, perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable. It's entertaining in the moment. It's just something you won't remember afterwards.
Yeah. If you like Hunter x Hunter, still check it out. I mean, you already heard everything about it now, really, but
yeah,
you get to see bungee gum, like the actual candy. I thought that was kind of a neat little thing, but, yeah.
I will say, despite this being kind of almost like a storyboard presentation, some of the panels do genuinely kind of stand out, like even with like the scratchiness of the art. I like the panel with like Abaki as nothing of a character she is, with like, you know, her using Ren, like that was really cool to me. And just various different Hisoka panels, obviously, just kind of stood out as well. There's a couple within the actual John Doe fight.
That was pretty cool. The John Doe fight was actually cool. I obviously would have preferred it being finished, but it looking scratchy was kind of neat. I like scratchy action. It's fun.
Yeah. JJK had a lot of that, and I didn't mind it there. So, Hisoka in the bathtub forming bungee gum.
Yeah, that's a highlight. That's something I'll probably remember. I like that.
Yeah. So it looks nice at points, despite that too. So yeah, you'll get something out of this if you read it. I think it's just. Again, don't expect a whole lot out of it. Like, don't expect, like, this grand storytelling, I guess is the best way I can put it.
And, you know, if you are an Ishida fan already, you're a Tokyo Ghoul fan in general, definitely check it out, because it's still cool to see, like, his take on Hunter x Hunter, even though it's not bold or anything really like what he would do in his own work. But it definitely has his you can feel his personality. You can feel his hand moving that pen.
It's his taste of Hunter x Hunter, but it's also, to his credit, very respectful of the source material. Yeah. So, I guess it's debatable whether that's, like, good or bad for, like, a one-shot that's not canon, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's something to respect at least. Like he obviously cared about Togashi's vision and what he set up already for Hisoka, you know, kind of just stuck to the formula.
All right. Well, with that, I think let's go and see what you guys had to say and see if we can get any more conversations out of us about this thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Okay, we are heading into community comments now for the Hisoka one-shot. Don't have a ton to go through today, so we'll be going through everything that we have received. And just as a reminder, if you want to get in on the action and discussion for our weekly episodes, be sure to keep an eye out on the YouTube channel for the community call-out posts, as well as our Twitter and Blue Sky accounts for call-out posts there. And if you have any thoughts on episode topics as we are going into the next episode, feel free to email us as well at the email stated at the beginning of the episode. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into your guys' thoughts on the Hisoka's past, Hisoka one-shot. First up, from Bizarre Czar, Hunter x Hunter in a different art style was really interesting to see, even if I still love Togashi's art style. It makes me kind of hope for when Hunter x Hunter definitely gets animated again, not Cope, that it could get a really modern, high-quality animation which could elevate the fights, even though Madhouse did a great job. I wonder if we'll ever get to see Hisoka's backstory in the actual manga, though. So, that's kind of a small thought that I had coming out of reading it. Is that, like, I do wonder if we'll ever see anything about Hisoka's past within Hunter x Hunter. Specifically, from Togashi's hand, I mean, something I've been thinking about now after the fact, and I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of a coin toss. I don't really know if it would happen or not. I don't think it needs to. I kind of like not knowing his past, honestly, even like you can actually say something about how Ishida handled it here, because Togashi and him did speak before this was made, so you could make an argument that Togashi might have been like, okay, you can't go too far back, you can't tell us why Hisoka is the way he is, you gotta just do like a whatever this is, like past him already becoming Hisoka pretty much. So maybe that is something that Togashi plans to explore, or maybe he just wants to leave it ambiguous forever.
Maybe, yeah. I feel like there's two ways you can look at this. So one, kind of like what you just said, maybe Togashi's saying, hey, don't go so far back because maybe, you know, I have plans for him in the future to explore that, right? Or maybe on the other hand, maybe he doesn't plan to explore Hisoka's past, and maybe that's why he even greenlit this in the first place. You know, it's just like, yeah, do what you want. You know, maybe he just decided to play it safe here, but maybe ultimately he just doesn't plan to explore that, so he was fine with this being a one-shot, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's hard to say, and we won't really know at all unless either one of them just comes out and says whatever they discussed, I guess. But yeah. It's interesting, though, to think about. I do wonder if we will see any of Hisoka's past, but I don't think it'll look anything like this if we do see
I do like the idea of him being in, like, a circus troupe. I think that's kind of a cool upbringing for him. Makes sense, the clown motif. It's a little the nose, but, you know.
At the same time, though, it's like, why is he always dressed up as a clown? Like, why is he like that? I can think a lot of people do wonder that. So
yeah, it is a good question to ask.
Maybe something worth exploring, but a circus trip would certainly make that make sense.
Mm-hmm. So, for sure.
That I'm complaining.
All right, next comes from Edokawa, who says, I really like how this one-shot doesn't try to explain everything about the character and just focuses on how his Nen ability was developed. Leaving most of his upbringing a mystery was definitely a good idea. The antagonist was also a good addition, and I like how his backstory references the Hunter exam from the perspective of someone who couldn't achieve his dream. Probably because Jean was the one to pass it. Yeah, I mean, almost certainly. I'd trade both movies for a short OVA focused on this chapter.
OVA would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, I would like to see that.
I don't think it'll ever happen,
unfortunately. No, definitely not. But it'd be cool.
I think that would certainly make up for like the scratchy feel of like how like the art was in the one shot. Seeing everything in motion animated would probably make it a little more investing to experience, I think. But like for this specifically, especially because it's all about like developing a Nen ability and like the visual of that. So like I feel like animating that would lend it pretty well to it. But I don't think it'll happen, unfortunately. It'd be cool though.
Likely not happening, but you never know. But yeah, I like we talked about, we also do like how it didn't. Well, we also like and don't like the fact that it didn't explore too much of him. It's in a way like, yeah, it is cool to leave that on the table, but also it just doesn't feel like we're going far enough.
It feels like kind of a, I don't want to say a nothing read, but like, you know, I feel like with one shots, it's important to have some kind of takeaway from it, whether it's non-canon or not. There has to be some kind of like element of like, I don't want to say like being surprised, but like, you know, something impactful from it.
Right? It needs to tell a story, and I really don't feel like a story is being told here, which is really funny. Like, it's just we're watching something happen, is what it feels like.
It felt less like of a Hisoka backstory and more of like a Hisoka introduction, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it's hard to put into words like my perspective on it, but I don't know. It's just like a Hisoka showcase.
Mm-hmm. Not really a showcase. Backstory. I like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, it is what it is, though. Yeah, I agree. Novia would be cool. Next up comes from Issa. He's back. Nice to see you again, man. It's a very good one-shot. I won't say it doesn't give nothing new, but it doesn't give us much either. Not saying that's bad. Since it's not Togashi, the writer didn't want to fill in too much for himself, but the clues in the manga does come back in the one-shot. So yeah, that's about it. Very dope nonetheless. Keep rocking, you guys. Hope you all had a good Christmas and New Year's. P.S. Hisoka can use both the properties of gum and rubber.
That's very true. He can do that.
I did get a good chuckle out of like that exact line being said in the one shot. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of felt very like on the nose, which made it
could funnier. Be a translator thing, but also, I mean, you know. That's true. It was funny.
A fan translation, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it kind of just depends on what side of the coin you land on. You know, do you want something new and creative from a non-canon one shot? Do you want it to play it safe and stick true to like the source? You know, kind of for your own preference there in terms of what you really want out of it and what you will get out of reading this. But yeah, I don't know. It's again junk food read for me. It's just entertaining in the moment.
100%.
Yeah.
Next comes from the GT fan. Okay. GT fan in the chat.
Interesting.
Sui Ishida. Well, yeah. Sui Ishida is the absolute GOAT. Can you give your thoughts on their other works? As one of the kids who grew up during Tokyo Ghoul's height of popularity, it was my first real look into both seinen and stories with a whole lot of depth. Seeing people break down Gon's story and how he always had this dark side to him makes me feel as if Ishida really enjoys parts of the story in Hunter x Hunter as well.
Time to admit something again. Guys. I have not consumed Tokyo Ghoul at all, aside from the opening, obviously, but like, who hasn't seen that? I have the original series, the full original series, physical, the manga, but I haven't gotten to it yet. So,
yeah,
sorry.
You'll get to it.
I can't speak to literally anything, unfortunately.
I can speak to it. I've read both Tokyo Ghoul and Tokyo Ghoul Re, or Ray, however you say it. I'm not as big of a fan of Re, honestly. I don't care for it a whole lot. But I do really, really enjoy Tokyo Ghoul. I'd say it's in my top 10 series of all time. I think it's a just really fantastic, consistent ride that it's just super unique and well done. I love the art. Love everything about it, honestly. It's just one of my favorites. It's near perfect in my eyes. Re kind of shits on it in a lot of ways. I don't want to get I know people like Re. It's just not for me. No spoilers, but man, I just don't like how anything plays out in it.
That's so interesting.
But yeah, that's I also grew up during the height of its popularity, but I didn't check it out till well after that. But you know, it was great coming back to it in a post, you know, discussion, like active discussion world. That I feel like that helped me a lot. I wasn't getting like swept away by all the conversations about it at the time.
Yeah, it seems like a very polarizing like thing in general, going from original Tokyo Ghoul to Re. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I always hear about how like stark of a contrast those series are, and it has me interested at the very least. But I really want to read Tokyo Ghoul just in general at some point. It's definitely on my bucket list. So I'll be able to speak to it at some point, just not right now.
Yeah. And as for his new series, I have not read it yet. I can't even remember what it's called right now, but I know people like it a lot.
I was about to ask what it was called, and you just said, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I can get it while you read the next question, but...
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know he was still, like, writing anything right now.
So. Yeah, it's been going on for a few years. I mean, I've heard, Chojin X, I just found it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I feel like I've heard, like, that name thrown around. I just didn't know that was tied to Ishida, huh?
Yep, that's him.
The more you know. There you go. All right, so next comment is from This Is Me 2014, saying, Ishida has done a wonderful job of creating a backstory for Hisoka without destroying Hisoka's character. You should read the conversation / interview between Ishida and Togashi 2. Same with Kishimoto and Togashi. I just wish Ishida could have drawn it properly. So, I mean, yeah. Good point. He didn't destroy Hisoka's character with this.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, it's very... not harmful at all, like this one shot. So like that's a good thing, I think.
But I would have wanted to see, like, Ishida comes up with some really twisted backstories for characters, and I would just love to see, like, just go wild, just do some crazy shit here. I don't know, that's what I wanted from this. I wanted him to go off the rails. Like, it's a non-canon thing, you don't gotta worry about it. It's not gonna ruin anything if you don't think about it as canon.
That was my line of thinking, too. And especially with a character as crazy from a concept as Hisoka is. Like,
yeah.
He's just... That character, like, is insane from the head. You know? Like, you could probably create something very twisted as a backstory for him.
Exactly. I wanted to see him go further. But, you know, also, I guess there's a difference in the fact that Tokyo Ghoul is seinen and Hunter x Hunter is shonen. Even though Hunter x Hunter really teeters on the edge a lot of times, he probably couldn't go the whole way with it. Exactly, but I mean, he didn't even try to go anywhere with it, so that's kind of my problem with it. But, you know, if I have to view this as canon, which, you know, you don't, but if it were to be canon, I guess it is nice that he didn't push the boundary at all, because it fits in, it doesn't harm anything.
Yeah,
but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And yes, interviews, I love reading mangaka interviews. I have read that Ishida and Togashi interview before, actually. I read a lot of interviews between mangaka. It's like one of my favorite things to do. It's just so interesting to hear them speak to each other. I have not read the Kishimoto one, though, so I'll have to look into that.
I was about to say, I didn't know that interview even existed, so.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah, you have to hop on that, Cage, at some point. Let me know how that is.
I will. Next up is from The Young Knight, who says, I could see some similarities between it and Tokyo Ghoul, such as the main villain wearing a mask and being able to change his appearance, or the appearance of his face, like Uta from Tokyo Ghoul. It was fun and fit Hisoka perfectly. Until Togashi writes a backstory for Hisoka himself, I'll just view this as Hisoka's backstory for my own personal headcanon. And that's totally fair. I said, it totally fits in. This can be canon.
It could be, yeah. And it is perfectly fine, you know, like even if that were to be the case. But I was actually curious though if like there was like anything that kind of like channels like some kind of Tokyo Ghoul resemblance or inspiration within the one shot, because I'm not familiar with that, obviously. But
yeah, I guess that's something I forgot to speak to with John Doe or Moritonio. He definitely does feel like a Tokyo Ghoul-esque character. You know, like the changing face thing in particular is definitely something. I mean, he literally did do that in Tokyo Ghoul, so it makes sense. And the motive definitely is a Tokyo Ghoul ass motivation.
Just like, just psychotic. Somebody,
yeah, psycho. A lot of psychos in that series, and he would fit right in for sure.
Some of the designs I've seen from Tokyo Ghoul certainly speak to that. It's like I feel like it's just a very psychotic looking series at points.
Absolutely.
I just assumed the characters would also be that, so glad to know that's confirmed as well.
Yeah, even the main character to some extent.
Man. Well, good to know. All right, next up is from Paya Isola. Hopefully I said that right. I had my fun reading it, but it didn't change my outlook on Hisoka. I see the Hisoka from each story as separate entities. Huh.
Interesting. Like as in each arc? I'm curious what you mean by that, but...
Yeah, that last part, I'm not entirely sure what you mean, but I mean the first part is kind of what I've been preaching this entire time, right? Like this is just Hisoka, and like it doesn't change or alter my perspective on the character. Like I feel like a one shot could do for it,
mm-hmm.
which would be very entertaining. I think it's Hisoka, and that's fine. it just doesn't make it exciting for me.
So, yeah. Pretty much the same exact thoughts. All right. Our final one here, as usual, actually, he kind of always ends up being at the bottom here. Insert name.
I got to say, I am thoroughly surprised you were able to write this much. For
he always pulls through.
You pull through with it. I'll give you a lot of commendation for that.
Let's dive in and see what he had to say here. Do you want to split this one in half, Dylan?
Yeah, we can split in half. I'll read the second half. Yeah.
All right, yeah, take over at the one shot, that the fourth paragraph there.
Sounds good.
I love this one shot from the art to the material within. God, the panels of him with Elastic Love and the one in the bathtub are some of my favorite in Hunter x Hunter, period. They are very good. I will admit they're really good panels, both of those. I just wish they were finished.
Imagine the bathtub bungee gum one finish. Like that, that would be cool very cool.
As hell. I'd love that. But yeah, those were the highlights. I didn't mention that. I assume you're meaning the one at the end, or near the end with the elastic bow. Yeah.
Has to be.
Awesome panel. I screenshotted that one. Love them ever since I saw them. Huge fan of Sui Ishida, and I think he was perfect for this. The thing that immediately told me this was more like Hunter x Hunter than the movies is the Gas Land backstory, which is such a Togashi-coded backstory, for sure. Yeah, Dylan just talked about that, actually.
Yeah. It felt like Togashi world-building, almost. Mm-hmm. Like he was trying to channel that, which is cool. And I wish he delved into that more throughout the one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves to take tiny, accurate, historical, or real-world details and make them cursory plot points in the story with a somewhat whimsical twist, like the naming culture. Like, just seeing the Red Earth Mountains made it immediately obvious that he was referencing red beds and natural gas, and was like, that's a very Togashi thing to do. Yep. I love seeing Nen users abusing the fact that they had Nen to unaware populace, and the cutthroat world depicted felt very much in line with Hisoka's personality. His natural talent feels like an organic way to show his reflexive opinions of others, and his focus on talent plays well into his pseudo examiner personality we see in Hunter x Hunter, for sure. To him, belittling and stealing from others in a cutthroat manner is the truest form of love, and it is expressed so well here. Even if you know nothing about him, I think you would get the name Elastic Love and what Hisoka is about. It's simple, but having his talent clearly isolate him through the fear he will rob others of what makes him special is a brilliant way to show why he would have a dismissal attitude towards those who don't share potential like him.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head. It's a good showcase of who Hisoka is as a person. Right. This one shot does a very good job of showcasing that and describing that.
Definitely does.
The one shot does play into the biggest issue I have with Hunter x Hunter from a setting, though, which is the mystery of Nen in the Hunter exam. If Moritonio is teaching his troop Nen, or is at least trying one, what incentive does he have to keep Nen secret? Two, how is Nen so secretive? I don't think he had Nen when he took the Hunter exam, but importantly, the exam's IMO ceases to function as intended when a serious Nen user is trying, as they have no incentive not to completely crush the opposition, like we saw with Killua. This makes me question why Moritonio never became a hunter after learning Nen. Also, if the exam Moritonio took is implied to be the Jing exam, I have many questions as to the timeline there. Fair. Yeah. But, like, I feel like you're asking questions that are maybe too deep to be asking for an 80-page one-shot, unfortunately.
That is true, but hey, that's what the insert name's all about.
That's what you're all about, and I respect it. It's just, I don't think the average person is going to be asking these questions, and nor should they, I think, personally. But I do like how deeply you're looking into it, and some of these are like pretty like valid things to ask. Like, what is that Jing timeline look like? Like, how far back is this actually? If Hisoka is like, how old do we think he is right now in current Hunter x Hunter?
30s, like, maybe,
like low 30s, like something probably like that.
Something like that.
So like that Jing, well, it's not out of the question, I guess. If like 20-ish,
we know were, like, Jing so, passed when he was Gon's age.
So I around think. Like
maybe even how, younger. How,
So how like old is Gon again? Like 12, yeah. So
but Jing, I think, right? Actually, I think Jing left when he was 10. I don't know if he passed the exam that same year, though.
Okay. I don't know. Like, from a year's past standpoint, I feel like the timeline kind of works out. Just kind of thinking on it on a whim. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. The Moritonio's incentive in general for, like, starting the trip, I guess, is a little... Now that I'm thinking about it, it's like they made an entire point about how, like, he really wanted to become a hunter and he couldn't, right? And he's trying to, like, teach Nen for others to do that. But, like, it's very clearly showcased that he's using Nen for, like, his own selfish purpose.
So, yeah, that like, kind of ended up being just, like, fake. So it wasn't even... There was nothing there. All he just wants to kill people.
Yeah, so, okay, the more I'm thinking about it, you do have some credence in that, like, that's kind of a weird, conflicting storytelling thing.
Definitely.
I don't know, though. Like, I guess I'm just more willing to look past it in this case.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny to point out, though. That's a good point. If I have any complaints, though, it has to be with Moritonio's ability. It's clear he was made a transmuter solely for the water divination scene, where we find out his aura has a bitter taste, likely due to his sore outlook on his failures. And Hisoka's sour, which I think is a brilliant choice, as we know Hisoka has a taste for sweet things from his background. I think it's a brilliant way to show his fickle nature. He literally sours on things. I do like that the John Doe handkerchief thing and Skywalk both play as abilities that would inspire Hisoka to create Texture Surprise and Bungee Gum, respectively. But what I do not think is making magnetic steel pillars at all counts as transmutation. I kind of pointed that out earlier in our discussion. Like, how does it work that you just transform your aura into magnetic steel pillars, specifically? Like, you're not changing the texture or, like... I guess transmuters are just changing the form of your aura, right? So, like, it technically counts or technically works. But that's so, like... That's, like, the most not Togashi thing that happened in this one shot, I think. I feel like Togashi would never make an ability like that. Yeah, so it's clearly conjuration with manipulation, given it's creating a real object that detached from his body. And I say that as someone who still adamantly believes Zeno's abilities make more sense as transmutation than emission, so I'm not a hardliner in transmutation, just being property manipulation. So, yeah, I don't know. Very weird transmuter ability, I think. But it's just a fun little one-shot. I can't really complain too much, but you make some good points.
So, if he's going to go off the rails for something, why not an N ability? You know, like, he didn't go off the rails for anything else he did, so let him have some fun there.
Yeah,
even if it makes no sense at all. Like...
It did, like, as soon as that was revealed, I was like, what? Like, that was very... I was not expecting that out of a transmuter ability, but... I don't know, it's kind of fun, so...
Yeah.
I'll let it slide.
It's cool.
But, yeah, that was good points, though, all around. You've very attentive to detail, as always, so we really appreciate your comment.
Yeah, and we definitely do agree with the whole, like, this is a great showcase of Hisoka. We both just kind of wish it was more than that.
Yes. Even if it was like, if it sub for whatever reason had like 10 to 20 more pages, I think that could have added a lot to it just to explore a little bit more. But
yeah,
I don't know. You just played it safe. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just that's something I would have personally liked to see.
And okay. So luckily we actually did get one more comment here so we can extend the length of this episode a little bit. Last minute, throw it in there. So got, I obviously can't read their name because it's in Japanese, but 07M. Says, as far as I know, this is the only comic adaptation for a Togashi manga. Like another author, like a spinoff. Yeah, this is the only one. Togashi hates his creations being used and changed by some random dude. He doesn't really like the anime either. That is true. But
oh, really?
Yeah, he's said that a few times. But that's whatever. But Sui Ishida showed so much love for the series that Togashi said, F it. For sure, yeah. By the way, there's a theory that Togashi killed Ponzu and Pokal because in the 99 anime, this anime studio gave them a romantic scene, which wasn't in the manga, and Togashi didn't like the fact that his characters and story were changed without asking. I that don't happened. Know. Yeah, I did know about that. They those two are like shipped together in the 99 anime.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know about that, but you never know, I guess.
That'd be a really funny rumor.
That is funny to think about.
raging at shipping, so you kill off your characters involved. That's so funny.
That's very funny.
In all fairness, though, like, I don't know if that's true. Like, were Ponzu and Pockle really destined for anything that great in the series? No,
definitely not.
No. Not at all.
Like, I think they were used pretty effectively in Chimera Ant. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't really complain about how they were used, to be honest. Mostly because they weren't really set up for anything past that. Like, I don't know.
Wasted potential, because there really wasn't any potential.
Exactly. Really, out of all, like, the Hunter exam, like, contestants, the only person I could see, look back, you know, to that point and say, like, yeah, there's something to this character we'll see more in the future, was Hanzo, honestly.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that. So, yeah, everybody else, I was kind of right on my my first impressions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that's it for the community comments this week. Didn't have a whole lot, but hopefully we had some good discussion here for you guys. And, again, if you want to get in on the fun, be sure to keep an eye out for the weekly call-out posts every week for our episodes.
Absolutely. And with that, this has been the Hunter Association. Thank you so much for listening. We are available on all major podcasting platforms as well as YouTube for the video version. Be sure to follow, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter at TXHXApod as well as Blue Sky at just THApod for updates on the show and as an alternative way to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. As always, we'll be here the same time every week talking about Hunter Hunter. Dylan, where can people find you online?
Yep, you can find me at DJ Tengen. That's DJTENGEN on both Twitter and Blue Sky. You guys know the drill, same nerdy stuff as usual I'm posting there. So, you know, feel free to give those accounts a look if you're interested in keeping up with my life, but you know, what I'm up to.
And you can find me on Blue Sky at Cage10, it's KIIGE10, where I post about manga. I just finished Fire Force recently. It's pretty good.
I saw that. I did not, like, knowing what I know about Fire Force, I didn't expect you to like it as much as you.
I didn't expect to either, man. That blew me away. That was awesome.
Might have to actually give it a fair shot, aside from all the random stuff that I've heard about it over the years.
Yeah, it definitely has its flaws. Definitely has flaws. But I really enjoy the stuff that I do like about it.
Oh, that's good, though. That's surprising.
Yeah. Sorry this was such a short episode, guys. This is very, very short. This might as well be a mini episode, but that's fine. There was really not much to say about this, and I guess in hindsight it wasn't really full episode worthy, but we did it. So
we did it anyways. And again, if you want more content this week specifically, go check out the VOD from our live stream this past weekend. It was a ton of fun, and I think you would have a lot of fun watching us play these random Hunter games. It was a good time, I think. We had a lot of community engagement throughout the live stream as well. So
yeah, thank you to everybody that showed up for it too. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And next week we are going to be doing a kind of theory-ish episode, sort not exactly theories, but more so speculation, freeform talk about what we think could happen post Succession War.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for us to do this episode. This is going to be what we're envisioning, I think, right now, is that it's going to be way less scripted of an episode than our usual format.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like Cade said, it's going to be more free flow discussion and just kind of speculation on where we're going post Succession War, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, should be a good time. I think a lot of good discussion will come from that episode.
Yeah, we'll do our best to try to organize the discussion, at least have some kind of structure to it. But for the most part, yeah, I think we just kind of want to talk about where we think it's going and get thoughts from you guys as well.
Yep.
And I think it'll be a good time getting back into current manga content for a minute here.
Yeah, we had a good like month-long break from talking about Succession War. I think it's about time we head back into it for a little bit.
Definitely. So, and then again, reminder, after that, the final week of this month, we will not have a proper episode, but we will likely have a bonus episode up on that Sunday because we will be in Chicago for a convention called Frosty Fausting.
absolutely. Yeah. So we'll be busy that weekend, but you can maybe expect another bonus video of some kind, akin to us ranking the volume covers, something along those lines, something of that kind of vibe, I suppose. So yeah. Keep an eye out.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, with that, we'll see you guys next week for post-Succession War speculation. See you guys then.
Keep an eye out for the posts.
Yes.
See ya.